Hi, this is Sean Sweeney. I'm here with Andy Russell from Launchpad Toys. And Launchpad Toys is the creator of Toontastic, which is an app for the iPad that's creating a lot of buzz. And Andy and I had been in touch via email, and we thought it would be a great opportunity to have a conversation about what we speech and language therapists are doing with technology and his thoughts about Toontastic and how it can fit into our work. So thanks for joining me, Andy.
Thanks so much for having me, Sean.
Of course, of course. So can you tell us a little bit about your app?
Sure. Toontastic is, we call it a creative storytelling and animation tool. Our goal is to bridge the gap between when kids start to create stories through imaginative play around ages 4 and 5, and when they're able to formalize those stories in formal writing or animation tools or movie tools or something like that, which tends to happen around 9, 10, 11. We wanted to bridge that gap by building a tool that enabled kids to capture the stories in play. So our inspiration was watching kids play with action figures and dolls and puppets, theaters and whatnot. They would put on these incredible performances and stories with characters and settings and plot that we were really impressed by. But then we would ask them to sit down in front of Microsoft Word or iMovie or an animation tool like Flash, and they would look at the screen, which at the time was a blank slate, and they'd kind of sit dumbfounded. And we found that if we were able to kind of embed the toy experience inside of a digital device and enable kids to play through their stories and capture them in real time, then it was a really effective way for kids to create content and then eventually to share the content up to the web. And along the way, we also discovered that kids were having trouble kind of formalizing stories in what we know as common structure. So with setups and conflicts and resolutions, this creative writing structure that drives a lot of our sort of elementary and late elementary curricula. And so we thought we'd build a template into the software and into the user interface that would guide kids through this process and introduce some of these concepts along the way.
Good stuff. Yeah, I mean, I think you're very wise to note, you know, that, well, just coming from the perspective of speech and language therapist in the schools, you know, my training, you know, helped me to figure out how to help kids in schools, in the classroom. And it was a long time before I figured out that, say, you know, with kindergarten kids, that it was all right and more than all right, very appropriate and helpful for me to incorporate play, you know, to help them build their language and engage them, especially, you know, on the narrative level. So I think that was, you know, a really wise, you know, place to be looking and thinking about the connection of that and writing. You know, we always talk about the kid's zone of development, and I could see how Toontastic can be kind of a bridge moving them from one, you know, one zone to another. And it's very true. It's really clear in your interface how, you know, they're not asked necessarily to add a character. They're asked to add a toy, you know, to the setting. And I think that that's, you know, really wise to build that kind of language in.
Oh, thank you very much. We think Vygotsky would be psyched. I'm glad to hear you think so as well.
As developers, leader, what is your background and where did you come from that kind of informed that this mission, you know, with the app?
Sure. Well, our team is real small. It's my co-founder, myself, and a couple of freelance illustrators and programmers. My background is, I guess, formally in the education space. I did both my undergrad and graduate school tours of duty in schools of education, specifically in constructionist approaches to education. As an undergrad, I worked on a piece of software called NetLogo, which is a math and science tool that enabled kids to create their own mathematical models of scientific phenomena, and studied things like Alice and Scratch, which are constructionist tools that enable kids to create different types of content through programming. and became fascinated by the ideas of Seymour Papert and what you could do with that sort of debugging loop. Wanted to stretch the concepts beyond math and science, which is where I think a lot of the focus of construction's tools has been to date, into imagination and play. So went and worked in the toy industry for a little bit at a company called Hasbro, worked in, mm-hmm. in their advanced concepts group, and then went and worked in the video game industry for PlayStation, working on kids' software there. And then went back to graduate school and started working on what was then Toontastic at the time, which is very different than what it is now. And learned, read up a lot on Vygotsky, as we mentioned earlier, and mm-hmm. CPD, and some of the concepts of sort of social learning, and became fascinated by the opportunities to combine all of these concepts together to build a playful tool that would enable kids to create their own content and then share it with each other so that we could create what we're calling now a global storytelling network for kids by kids, a place where kids can share cartoons about their lives and learn about the lives of other kids around the world through each other and through peer networks rather than how I learned, which was 30-year-old outdated textbooks.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And my partner, won't speak too much for him. His background's in computer science, but he's actually a journalist by trade. He went and worked for the Boston Globe in their online department for a while.
Oh, cool.
He is very interested in storytelling and building tools that enable people to create stories in new ways. And he and I are old, longtime friends from back in Boston, where we both kind of grew up in the Massachusetts, and we've been talking about this stuff for years, and when I had this opportunity plumped down in front of me, I called him up and begged him to come out here to the West Coast.
Very cool. Yeah, I guess we're three, you know, all Bostonians here talking, so that's kind of interesting. It's interesting you brought up Scratch and Alice, because I hadn't, you know, made the connection there between what is done with Toontastic and sort of moving characters around a stage, you know,
right.
and those programs. But yeah, I do see that, you know, really strongly. So that's an interesting connection to see. I actually had a speech and language therapist write to me recently about using Scratch in her speech and language work with a student on the autism spectrum, and how much it motivated him and helped her find, you know, teachable moments around just the social interaction between her and him, you know, also building his language. So that's cool. You know, I think you also bring up like a really important a couple of, you know, things that'd be really helpful for speech and language pathologists too, in terms of Toontastic bridging a different gap. In terms of, you know, speech and language therapists are often taught how to do therapy as drill. And, you know, they don't necessarily learn the social interactionist piece of it until later. And I think, you know, your app is something that could help them, you know, figure out how, you know, through play they can be building language with kids too. So that's a really cool opportunity for people.
Oh, thank you. We're very excited about that. You know, we always had an idea that this would be a good oral literacy tool,
mm-hmm.
just because, of course, it involves speech and repetition thereof and performance. But we had no idea the range by which teachers and tutors and educators would be using it. We've been doing a number of pilot tests here in the Bay Area and abroad this spring, and visiting a couple of those classrooms in the course of doing it. And we've been really surprised by the range of activities. One of the videos we just posted up on our blog was we visited a middle school Spanish classroom where the teacher's been using it for to get the kids to practice their dialogue and kind of having them write out different scripts and then act them out through Toontastic and repeat. And there, it's a nice hybrid between, as you said, the sort of more playful approach and the traditional drilling. that enables the kids to kind of create content playfully and have fun with it and have a nice takeaway at the end of it.
Yeah, I can see that. And I'm actually not surprised that I found that, you know, outlet in the foreign language classroom because, I've been working with a lot of world language teachers the past couple of years and seeing how much they really love animation tools like, more of the web-based ones like Kerpoof and Go Animate for Schools. And I can see where Toontastic would really fit right in, you know, to that niche and actually be... a lot easier to use.
Well, thank you. That's a great compliment. Yeah.
I noticed just from looking at your website that there were, some notes on the app's development and that Stanford was involved and a museum out there called Zoom. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Maybe you can you tell me?
As in museum.
Oh, Zoom. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Speech and language therapist. Should have maybe figured out the origin of that word. But anyway, so can you tell a little bit more about that?
Yeah, sure. So I began Toontastic when I was a graduate student at Stanford. I was in a program called Learning Design and Technology, which is a hybrid between School of Education, computer science program, and the design school at Stanford. And it's a program that is revolves around a master's thesis or a master's project, and so Toontastic began as my master's project when I was in grad school there, and I partnered with the Children's Museum here in San Francisco called Zium to try to build out a new exhibit that would be focused on sort of digital puppet-like animation and storytelling, and at the time we really weren't quite sure what that meant. But over the course of the year, through doing a lot of observation at the museum, Zium is an arts and creativity museum, mm-hmm. Very much focused on giving kids tools to create their own content, whether it be music videos or news broadcasts or claymation animation and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and observed a lot of these processes at the museum and then took a lot of the learnings and tried to implement them as a digital tool on a touchscreen. So that was a year-long project, and at the end of it, had a nice prototype, and then had the wonderful opportunity to do and a little bit of investment money to commercialize it and try to build it out as an iPad app when they announced the iPad about 4 or 5 months after I graduated from grad school.
Cool.
So we actually, our office is right across the street from Zium now.
Mm-hmm.
We strategically located it so we can go over there as much as we possibly can. And we go over every other week or so and take over paper prototypes and screenshots and working models of our software to test with kids as much as we possibly can. Museum environment's wonderful for developing software because you have new visitors and new users with every visit, and that's critical when you're trying to work out user interfaces and things like that for kids.
Cool. It sounds like you put a lot of planning and tons of work into this app. It kind of shows, that...
it's been a solid 2.5 years of my life at this point.
Anyone who has a, kind of just whim to design an app, I think you can be inspiring, but also a little bit of give an idea of how much goes into it too.
Well, yeah, I really encourage anybody who has a whim because I think everything starts as a whim.
Mm-hmm.
And our take on it is that, you got to get a product out as quickly as you possibly can. Start with that whim and build it out, build yourself a prototype and then test it. I don't really believe that there is such a thing as sort of a children's media expert because kids are different now than they were when I was a kid. And as much as I like to think of myself as a big kid, I think very differently about the world around us than a five-year-old does today. And a five-year-old today is going to think very differently about the world around us than, an eight-year-old or a nine-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
These kids are growing up with far different technologies than we did. And the three-year-olds today are going to have a whole nother perspective on life when it comes time for them to have software when they're, six or seven or something like that. So, to say that one person is an expert is kind of silly, I think, and we all have to continue to learn as we go. And you do that through testing and testing and testing. And so I think having a whim is fantastic, because you go and you build yourself a prototype and you test it, and whether you put it out to market or whether you just kind of build it as a prototype tool and go, you know, work it out through a local audience. That's the way to do it. And, you know, Toontastic started as a 2-week prototype, and then we built from there and we built from there, and we will continue to do so over time.
And, you know, building an app can be your own, you know, kind of personal narrative there in terms of your own challenge you face and all the attempts you have to go through to make it you know, success. And I was just kind of showing Andy Story Grammar Marker as a tool and describing my relationship with Mary Ellen and Sheila, who are working to spread the word about their tool. And I was, it's always interesting to see how different structures of story grammar in general can be embedded in different tools. And, you know, I really do see that, you know, in Toontastic, and that, you know, kids are first asked to do sort of a setup that's the character and setting, and what could be the, you know, story grammar marker kickoff, and then kind of go from there. And, you know, from what I could tell, Andy, it seems like you could go as far as you want, right? In terms of story elements, you could kind of X them off if they're not going to really be included, or...
Yes.
Yeah.
So we've broken it down into 5 basic scenes. And a lot of this is based off of Robert McKee's work as a Hollywood scriptwriter. I took a seminar from him a couple of years ago and was really inspired by his take on the commonalities of story. And found out years later, just recently actually, that his work actually matches up really well with Lucy Calkins' work at Columbia, I believe, at Teachers College. Yeah, I agree. There are a lot of different templates and a lot of different perspectives, but I think they're all kind of getting to the same point. And the big thing for us is that we're not trying to teach a Greek architecture. We're not trying to teach that there's only one way to tell a story.
Yeah.
We're trying to teach that there are common elements across all stories, and regardless of how you mash them up, and they're all going to kind of interact with each other in the same way. You know, no matter what, you're going to have the characters, you're going to have the settings, you're going to have the narrative arc, you're going to have the role of emotion, you're going to have setups and conflicts and climaxes and resolutions, and you can call them what you want. You know, a setup can be an introduction, and, you know, a conflict can be a challenge, and, you know, resolution can be a conclusion. But as long as we get those basic concepts across the board, then I think that's what matters.
Yeah, and I think the way that your app can, you know, you can build the story the way that you want is really critical to, you know, tools like Story Grammar Marker that sort of understand that kids are in different places in their narrative development. And
yeah.
I could picture having some clients that, if left to their own devices with your app, would just drag toys onto the stage at one level. And not really do much with any of them that makes sense, so that, you know, kind of in the same, you know, Vygotskian way that we were talking about with an SLP scaffolding, helping them to figure out, oh, let's add some actions within this setting, you know, that could drag them to the next level, not drag, boost them to the next level, and you know, you can just kind of go from there. So I think that's great, the kind of customizability, you know, of the levels that you have in there and how much they align with any tool that clinicians would be using to help kids, you know, develop play and narrative.
Yeah, in the toy industry, I come from the toy industry, so I tend to kind of think from that lens. There's a term that I love called a grow with me toy. And I think... Legos are probably the best example of a grow with me toy, and that you start with Duplos and you learn this basic mechanic, its play pattern of snapping together bricks, and then over time you graduate to the town and the space, and then you get in the end into Mindstorms. And so the play pattern evolves from, you know, kind of basic snapping together to more elaborate storytelling and modeling, and eventually into sort of invention. And the learning goals evolve from, you know, basic sort of tangible manipulation to storytelling along the way and kind of world construction to eventually programming. But the basic mechanics stay the same, and the brand and the concept stays the same. We're trying to do much of the same with Toontastic. We don't expect the four-year-olds to get in and understand the complexities of a narrative arc right away. We don't expect for them to, you know, really grasp the role of emotional energy in storytelling. But our goal is to build an animation tool that's as accessible and as fun as possible for the younger kids, so that they can graduate up to some of these heavier concepts as they play with it more and more. And that the learning will, in fact, be emergent over time rather than us trying to hit them over the head with a hammer.
Yeah.
That, you know, by building 5 or 6 or 7 stories and by getting the feedback from the online community and from their peers that they show the cartoons to, you know, they'll have that eureka moment, that realization somewhere along the way that, oh my gosh, you know, look what happens when I crank up the energy on the conflict scene versus the resolution scene. Or, hey, wow, look at how the shape of my cartoon and the story arc actually dramatically affects the feeling of the story. And I think that eureka moment is one of the most powerful ones that we can provide as educators. If they can figure that out for themselves, which over time, hopefully they do in building these things out, then we've done our job.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's one of the things that, you know, what you're describing in terms of the grow with me aspect is one of the things that made me, you know, really look at Toontastic and see it as one of the few, and there are more and more, but there's still kind of few robust apps like that out there. And, you know, those of us who are talking about technology and special education and talking about apps and special education, you know, we are kind of running up against, you know, some minor, you know, resistance and you know, a little tinge of criticism about the fact that, you know, there isn't a lot of research about, you know, doing this kind of thing with a technological context. And, you know, what I always try to counter with is, yeah, you're right, you know, that there isn't a lot of research about, say, the Toontastic app, but obviously there's a lot of research behind it. And it doesn't really matter, you know, it's kind of like insisting that someone have research behind one particular storybook that they use. You know, it as long as it's sound in the methodology and or you're using methodology like therapists would use while using Toontastic. I think it's great that there's a lot of actual research and theory built into your app.
I think there's a. It's also important to draw a distinction between insular and linear, I would say, games and experiences versus open-ended tools. We call our company Launchpad Toys, and that's very deliberate. Launchpad because we see ourselves as a catalyst for hopefully aspirational thinking and learning. And toys because we actually don't see ourselves as a game company, although, you know, it's very easy to lump anything that's interactive in with video games. Games are pre-programmed, and games have an outcome and have built-in metrics for success. And games are all about being sort of a linear experience of getting from point A to point C. And toys are open-ended, and they're tools for kids to express themselves, and they're sparks for the imagination. When you give a kid a box of Legos, you are opening them up to an infinite and endless world versus giving kids a handheld video game in which they are kind of limited inherently to what the programmer had in mind. And video games are getting better and better at that, and they're certainly getting more powerful and open-ended, but they're still inherently, you know, digital board games. Which is what they were initially designed to be many years ago. I can certainly understand any teachers or educators or policymakers' hesitation to introduce games into a classroom or educational settings because they're inherently limited to what the designer had in mind. But I guess I always fail to understand concerns over introducing toys and tools.
Mm.
You would never say that, you know, you can't use this hammer to build this, because a hammer is a tool to build anything. And it's not directly tied to the outcome. It doesn't limit the outcome. It empowers the outcome.
Mm.
And Toontastic, although it, you know, certainly has a curriculum of itself, it is more than anything a tool for kids to create anything that they imagine. And it is a tool for educators to use to teach whatever they would like to teach.
Mm.
Story arc and characters and setting and all of these creative writing concepts that we've baked into there are, that's one sort of pedagogical curricular approach, but you can do so many things. We've got teachers, a teacher in Ohio using it to teach biology in her science classroom, fifth grade science classroom, and they're doing reports on the human digestive system and creating animations for that. We've got, as I said earlier, the middle school teacher out here in the Bay Area using it for Spanish language dialogue practice. We've got a third and fourth grade classrooms using it for storytelling and creative writing classes. It's a tool that you can use to create any sort of content that you want. Good mm-hmm. content, bad content, educational content, non-educational content, wherever you draw the line there. And so I guess I would challenge anybody who would mandate a need for further research to say that, you know, we're no different than an iMovie or
mm-hmm.
A puppet theater or any other tool that enables people to create content.
Yeah, I agree. Or any other tool that serves as a context, you know, for teaching it, you know, critical skills.
Right.
So, you know, I was noticing too, I think it's great that, you know, once kids create, you know, something with Toontastic, that they can publish it right to your own little portal there called ToonTube. You know, there's a lot of there's been a lot of buzz educationally about you know, the power of publication for students and how they will, when they know they're creating for an audience beyond themselves and their teacher, you know, that can really motivate them to go, you know, a lot further versus, you know, handed in kind of assignment.
Yeah.
So how's it going with ToonTube?
ToonTube is ambitious. it was, to be very honest, it was always something that we had dreamed of doing when we were building the tool, but we didn't think that we could get it into version one, and right at the end of it, we decided to roll the dice and go with it to see what the community would be like on its own. It's in many ways the most exciting part of the app as we continue to build it out. And we have an update coming out very shortly that has a very cool new lens by which to kind of view the cartoons. So be looking forward to that. It's probably one of the weaker links of the entire interaction in terms of, you know, getting your content up onto the network. There's been an immense number of cartoons created around the world. We've been out for like 130 days or something like that, and we're seeing like 1,000 cartoons created a
wow.
day.
Wow!
So you know, they're somewhere north of 100,000 cartoons. Being created around the world. Our ToonTube site is much smaller at this point, and so that's one of our big focuses moving forward, is try to encourage as much uploading and as much sharing as we possibly can,
mm-hmm.
Because it is ultimately the great potential of the app, not just to introduce ideas of storytelling, creative writing, and not just to be a content tool for people to create content, but to be a repository for people to share stories of their lives and their favorite recipes and road trips that they've been on and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it occurs to me as you're talking about it how much it could be a tool for speech and language therapists from a receptive language point of view in helping, you know, after, you know, reviewing a story on ToonTube, you know, helping kids go through and really understand, oh, so you know, what was the, you know, critical character there? What was the main character and what was the setting they picked? Was there a kickoff that, you know, that started off the story, you know, in a way to use story grammar marker, you know, in going through those? I think that'd be also really motivating, you know, for kids, as well as a good model maybe for the types of stories they might want to make.
So when you start talking about constructionist learning, there are basically, you know, four components of that. And one is sort of your mental model. The second is your idea or your implementation through code or whatever the tool may be. The third is sort of the visualization of that. And then the final piece of that is the feedback and the review system. And that creates this debugging loop, as Papert called it. Mm-hmm. And so TuneTube is the final piece of that. You can create content and you can review content on the device inside the app itself. But TuneTube represents our efforts to enable kids to not just post content up to the world so they can share with friends and family, but that they can eventually get feedback from other kids. And that they can, as you say, go on and look at what other kids are creating and compare their content versus others.
Mm-hmm.
That social element is absolutely critical to it.
Yeah, oh, no, that's terrific. Is the feedback piece in place, like from a technical standpoint? Like kids are commenting on others' tunes. I haven't looked that much at TuneTube yet, but
The feedback is an area we're working on.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we have a very common like system, so you can kind of vote up.
Yeah.
Other kids' cartoons. But we're in the process of designing and building a more robust feedback system so that you can give more pointed comments
mm-hmm.
back while still keeping it kind of within the safe realm of children's media.
Yeah. That's the one concern. I know we've all looked at YouTube comments. It seems to be...
That's a nightmare, right?
The absolute, you know, everything goes in terms of humanity, I would say.
we're shooting for somewhere between sort of... gold stars of kindergarten and the humor of Amazon comments.
Very good. Sounds like a good goal. So besides, you know, what you're planning, you know, with TuneTube and, you know, what do you see coming up for your app and for, you know, Launchpad in general? What can we look forward to?
Well, with Toontastic, you're going to see an update coming out very shortly. That's got a much improved TuneTube system, as well as a lot of work on the website. We'll also have in-app purchasing for characters and backgrounds coming up,
mm-hmm.
So you'll be able to kind of browse a huge store of characters and backgrounds, and we want to create what we're calling a virtuous cycle of storytelling where you can continue to create more and more cartoons with broader and broader ideas
mm-hmm.
As a result of the characters and backgrounds. And then, of course, rewarding the kids for creating great content. So part of that feedback system is rewarding virtual characters and backgrounds as a result of achieving badges and things like that.
Cool.
You know, we'll continue to improve Toontastic with a bunch of new features. We're not quite sure which are going to move out of experimental and which are going to move into production, but
mm-hmm.
That'll be fun over the next couple of months. The bigger picture is... we're building what we're calling the Adobe Creative Suite for kids. If Toontastic is focused on storytelling by way of animation, then we want to tackle a variety of other classic play patterns match them to appropriate learning goals and build out a suite of these tools that enable kids to design and publish their own creative content. So we're starting with animation, and we're going from there.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Yeah, excited to see what you come up with next. Oops, that's great.
Still there, Sean? You're breaking up a little bit.
Oh, sorry. I was saying very interesting, and it's exciting to hear what you'll come up with next.
We're looking forward to it. It's certainly a lot of fun building it.
Good. Well, thank you. We've definitely, you know, given a lot of, you know, food for thought, I think, for SLPs and other educators and, you know, how your app could really engage students in a process that's really important for learning and for language. So I appreciate you taking the time talking to me.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for taking the time for the interview. It's been fun, and looking forward to sharing our story with your community.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Andy.
Absolutely, Sean. And please let me know if you ever have any questions. And to all the listeners out there, thanks for your support and interest in Toontastic. And please send feedback anytime. We'd love to hear stories of how you're using the tool, and any suggestions you might have for new features in future releases. Our email address is howdy@launchpadtoys.com.
Great. Thanks for the contact info.
Cool. Okay. Thanks, Sean.
Thank you.